This podcast is supported by Midi Health. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. In fact, even today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. But it's time for a change. It's time for Midi. Midi's not just a healthcare provider. It's a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders in women's health. Their clinicians provide one-on-one, face-to-face consultations where they truly listen to your unique needs. They offer a full range of holistic, data-driven solutions that isn't one-size-fits-all care. This is care uniquely tailored for you. At Midi, you will find that their mission is clear: to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve, because they believe midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to feel your best and write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today to book your personalized, insurance-covered virtual visit. That's joinmidi.com. Midi, the care women deserve.
Welcome to the Chai Break podcast with your host, Shweta Ravi Shankar.
And Rema Rao, coming to you from New York City. Each week, we brew up conversations steeped in our cross-cultural experiences, growing up in India and moving abroad in our 20s.
From feminism to fashion, colorism to colonialism, join us on our journey of becoming. With elements that almost every immigrant, irrespective of background, can relate to, we hope you enjoy our conversations and chime in along the way. So let's get started.
Hello, hello. Good morning, Rama.
Hi, Shweta. Good morning. And everyone, welcome to the Chai Break podcast.
Yeah, we're very excited to kick off this first episode. And we're calling in from frigid New York City and Westchester.
From Westchester in New York. Yeah, kind of the suburbs of New York. Welcome, everybody. This is our first, very first episode, and we would like to use this opportunity to introduce ourselves, you know, kind of give you a story, you know, background about how we kind of dived in into this whole podcast scene and who we are and what we do and what we would like to bring
right
to you all via this podcast.
So let's kick it off.
Why Chai Break? Why Chai Break, Shweta? Why Chai Break?
It's funny because when I thought about a Desi Brown Girl podcast, I feel like chai is such an integral part of our upbringing. And we've had many a conversations over chai with friends growing up or, you know, later in life. When you go out, you want to have your chai and samosa and everything is kind of centered around that.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm married to a coffee drinker, I have to confess, but yeah, I still love my chai.
That's right. Even I'm a coffee drinker too. But Chai Break is kind of a way of, you know, conversations over coffee. So it's basically the conversations that we're going to have over a nice hot cup of tea. Yeah. And we would like to welcome you all into this conversation and be a part of this venture that we're taking.
Yeah. So Rama, tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Right. So I am a Chennai girl. I grew up in Chennai. For those who don't know what Chennai is a city, a port city, actually, in southern India. It's kind of one of the southernmost, cities that is very urban and cosmopolitan. And I grew up in Chennai, very hot in the, let's say, like the 90s and the 100s weather.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, and you would relate to this, Shweta, Chennai is one of those cities which has a nice amalgamation of both traditional as well as the modern values. It seemed to really nicely coexist with each other. So I grew up in this really intellectually rich environment, both parents, doctors, very successful, but kind of was raised still with a conservative, and traditional values, you know, in the same household. So kind of both were coexisting with each other, like Chennai, the rest of Chennai was.
Right, right.
So all I knew was growing up was medicine. So guess what? Just like any other South Asian family, you know, it's either what those days was medicine, engineering, dentistry. There's only a few choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I chose to, you know, get into medicine and I don't regret it at all because I think it's been great to be in the healing side, in a healing profession. It's been very enriching experience and I've learned a lot along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like any other South Indian kid. I guess I grew up learning the classical dance and music, Bharatanatyam and Carnatic music.
Yeah.
And so I kind of have a little bit of those roots. Currently, I'm a medical professional. I am a pathologist, and I work at an academic center here in New York City. And I have a nice family of five. We have three kids and two dogs, actually. And yeah, we're pretty much doing the same regular, you know, household duties as well as balancing work and doing fun stuff like this, Shweta. So tell me about you.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So I grew up in the cultural hub of Mysore. It's a very sleepy town. It's also called a retiree's haven, but I think it's like this little pocket of India, mm-hmm. or South India rather, that still remained untouched. And I think that's what I love about it. I don't think I clearly appreciated it as much as when I was growing up and I was in Mysore, because I have vivid memories of visiting Bangalore, mm-hmm. which we moved to, you know, much, much later in life, but coming to Bangalore every summer vacation and to visit my uncle. And I was always like, wow, I love Bangalore. It's all so happening and whatnot. But now when I look back, when I go back to India, I always want to go to Mysore because I still have my roots there. My grandparents are there and I feel like it's not lost its charm. Yeah, so I was raised, I don't want to say traditional, because my parents were pretty chill. Mm-hmm. Like my mother did all kinds of, like, she sings really well, and then she worked in a Montessori.
Your mom's badass, by the way.
totally.
Yeah.
She did so many different little odd jobs. She worked in real estate with my granddad. She helped him for a while. So she did many different things. I always saw her do many different things. And my dad's a finance guy, work long hours and, you know, whatnot. And when it came to career, I think, like, just like you said, you know, you're either a doctor or an engineer. And yeah. I went on to do my engineering, mm-hmm. not for the love of it, really. You know, it was just something I did. Mm-hmm. And then I did work as a, you know, analyst for quality analyst for a couple of years. And when the recession hit in 2008, I think it was a blessing, because that's when I'm like, OK, now I don't have a job. So maybe I can do what I really want to do. Mm-hmm. And things just fell in place. And I think I kind of tapped into my love for writing that I'd always done. I was always into debates and elocutions, creative writing and poetry. I was always in that realm. Mm-hmm. And I saw my calling coming, you know. So mm-hmm. it just happened that a friend's ex-boss was starting this, you know, travel company. And they needed someone. But I joined there as an analyst. And one day he just saw me writing something and he's like, do you want to take a stab at this and write this for me? And when I wrote it, he's like, what are you doing this? You should be writing.
Oh,
and I think
awesome.
that was it. There was no looking back from there. And
you know, it's so interesting. Your story is so interesting and inspiring as well, because I think a lot of us can relate to your story as well, right? I mean, I think that's why we're doing this podcast, because we are not celebrities. We're our, you know, day-to-day people having our day-to-day, you know, lives and kind of trying to balance both worlds of family as well as career, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and everything in between. And so your story is pretty, I think, familiar to a lot of people who are listening to this podcast probably. And they'll be like, aha, I relate to this. And I think the nice thing about yours is, like, you've taken what, you know, seemed to be a hobby and an interest, kind of made that your passion, and have made that your career.
Yeah.
A lot of us, when I say traditional, going up in a traditional setting, and I'm now actually in that phase of, you know, change, some of us actually have kind of gone in a traditional path and stuck with it, mm-hmm, only mm-hmm. to realize later that, you know, there's some things out there. And there's kind of, you know, I am especially dabbling into other things as well, trying to see, you know, how to best kind of combine my Western medicine that I've learned with some Eastern philosophy. And right. Eastern medicine.
And going back to your roots, right? I mean, what your grandparents and great-grandparents did.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to healing and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so into that healing aspect, mm-hmm. now. Energy medicine, healing. Western medicine is great. It does so many wonderful things. It's got miraculous cures. But I guess being trained in Western medicine only, I feel like for a while I've just kind of lost in touch with the body's own innate nature of healing. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of right now trying to figure out how the body can actually heal by itself. What is energy? What's energy around us? What's energy within us? How can we, you know, tap into that resources as well? and get the body to heal. So that's something. But it's interesting because you have already done that way ahead of me, and I am kind of catching up with that. So
no,
that's
I'm
wonderful.
Still actually discovering what else I like. I mean, so I like you. I started Bharatanatyam really early when I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And I did it for a good 10, 12 years. And then once we moved, like I was saying before, to Bangalore, I think I had formed such a close bond with my guru that I couldn't learn with anyone else. Mm-hmm. It was almost like I just, because my guru, even to date, is almost like a second mother to me. You know, I could go to her for life advice, not only for dance, for everything. You know, it was a well-rounded setup that we had in our dance school. And I think now finally, like, you know that I'm part of a meetup group here in New York that I discovered like 2 years ago on, you know, on the Instagram black hole, as they call it. Mm-hmm. And it's just been great. And I feel like that was what I was really missing in my life. Mm-hmm. One is a hobby, yes, but two is just a community of like-minded creative individuals.
Right.
Just outside my work, because for work right now, I work in retail as a content editor, but I love fashion. I mean, and you know that.
Oh my
God. I love fashion. I live
everybody,
and breathe it. But again,
you should follow Shweta on Insta. She's a fashionista.
I try. And yeah, I think, but for the past year, I mean, you know, like everyone else in the world, that my closet has been, you know, dying a slow, sad death. But I try once in
you
a
still,
while.
You still, you know, yes, that's pretty good. You know, you would have done with the COVID time. You've kind of inspired other people to really be sitting in this lockdown still to dress up and to like live it up, because I see your Instagram posts. You're always like, you know, still not stopping with those styles.
I do. I've gone through the waves, I have to say. But now I think for 2021, I set a mini goal for myself that I would try to dress up at least twice a week. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because when I have conversations, a video call with my supervisor, she's like, oh, is it your dress up day today? And I'm like, yeah, it is. You know, so yeah. Yeah. Let's talk something about your passions and hobbies, Rama. What do you like to do in your free time?
I am your perfect example of the jack of all trades. So that's who I am. I think I've always been like that. I've always wanted to explore everything the world can offer. Uh-huh. So my basic passion, I think, is always music and dance. Uh-huh. I still remember, like, you know, turning on the music, especially Bollywood, and driving around, and I can always choreograph some dance moves in my head. Uh-huh. That's always been me. That will always be me. But I think I also have many different interests. The ones that we just talked about now recently has been trying to really figure out how to get the mind-body establish the mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious about the energy within us, within our body, our nervous system, tapping to the nervous system, how to create a balance. I'm really curious about the energy space around us, the energy field around us. I'm really curious about the energy field in a home and in an environment, and how to kind of bring all of this to work effectively to create balance in the human body and mind. And that's kind of my new territory that I'm really leaning towards, or really learning more about every single day. Every single day, I'm holding a book that really talks about this, listening to a podcast talks about it. And to that effect, I've actually, you know, applied a lot of those principles to myself. And I found fantastic results. And I think that's what we'll be talking about this in one of the episodes as well. And so I'm kind of in that area. So, you know, dancing and music is always going to be my hobby and interest. But right now, I'm really curious about healing, energy and spirituality and so on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, with me, I mean, like I said, dance is my first love. And I think with, you know, being at home more, I've really delved deeper into it. For the first time, I'm dabbling with the choreography and stuff like that. So I think, you know, my interests have kind of fallen into place, and I feel really, really good about it. And, you know, like you, I think we've been talking a lot about mindfulness and yoga and everything. Mm-hmm. And I just happened, right as I was thinking more about it, I happened to meet a friend through my dance meetup group here in New York. And she's been mentoring me and, you know, guiding me through. So I've like discovered people like Abraham Hicks and just, you know, been listening to a lot of Jay Shetty's podcasts, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm kind of aligning my interests and, you know, it's coming along, because dance was the only thing basically that I absolutely loved. And I think as of now, like, yoga and all of this is really keeping my interests locked in. So it feels really good.
That's great. I think what's happened is the COVID, in a way, unfortunately, the world has kind of been set to a pause. I would say unfortunately, because there have been a lot of lives that's been lost because of this. But at the same time, I think there is something that's emerging out of this kind of a strange environment we're living in. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, some of us, and I've heard many people say this, they've really learned to slow down. Mm-hmm. And they've really learned to put a pause button. As the world put a pause button to itself because of the pandemic, mm-hmm. people, they're really discovering new things about themselves. So I think this has been a personal growth opportunity for a lot of people.
Very, very true.
And I think that's what is also happening with me, with energy healing and stuff. And I think that's what's happening with you.
Right.
As you're discovering new things coming along, when you're dabbling into new areas, and I'm sure our audience listening to this will also kind of
relate to it.
I think mm-hmm. some of them will resonate with this thought as well.
Totally.
And so I'm going to ask you this question. I think this you have probably have the best answer for this. What prompted us to start this podcast, Shweta?
Oh, wow. That's a great question.
It's your answer, pretty much.
Yes. Let's time travel a little bit. I think this was, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Or a little over 2 years ago, because I met a fantastic couple, you know, here through my daughter Dia's daycare, Josephine and Steven. And Josephine is one of the most inspiring people I have met. Mm-hmm. And she came from a, you know, entrepreneurial family where both her parents were in the hotel business and whatnot. And she was talking to me about, you know, how she and her sister, who is a leadership consultant in one of the leading firms, is going to start a podcast. And I was like, oh, okay. And I think I was very new to the concept still. Mm-hmm. So as she talked to me about it, I was like, oh, I want to start a podcast. Clearly, at that moment, though, I had no idea what I wanted to talk about or what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I do remember kind of feeling stuck where I was in terms of my career. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I need to do something else. And I think one of the evenings when I came over to you, do you remember that evening, Rama? We had like a couple of glasses of wine. And, you know, I had like 5-6 ideas that I threw to you. And I'm like, I need to do something, Rama. And then you're like, okay, you can do that. You can, because I think starting even at a public, like a fashion-related Instagram was one of them. And we did that. And you're like, you can do this. You already have an account. Let's start. You should just get started on this immediately. And I think one of the other things was the podcast.
Right.
And over time, I think over the course of 2 years, you know, we've talked a lot about it and, you know, what we wanted to do. We had a vague idea. But I think like the moment I knew I wanted to do the podcast, I kind of knew that it had to be with you.
Oh.
Because I couldn't think of doing it with anybody else. Because I think I felt like our everyday conversations when we meet and talk kind of would flow and resonate into, you know,
yeah,
a podcast / radio show, whatever you call it.
True.
So, yeah.
Which is why I think we've named our podcast Chai Break, because our conversations have always been, you know, it's always been interesting and always ended with something interesting.
Yeah, totally. And I think what we wanted to talk about was something you and me discussed over time, because I think with my experience moving here, like when I first came here, I think I did not have much of a, you know, a much exposure to the Western world growing up in India. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, oh, okay, if you're an Indian American, you must be just like me, you know, mm-hmm. coming from. And then I quickly realized how different it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think like,
What do you mean different, Shweta? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. I think it's just like, you know, maybe whether it's the kind of people you were with, the kind of mm-hmm. shows you watched, like everything. Mm-hmm. When you have a conversation with someone, mm-hmm. like if I have a conversation with another Indian American, I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Because I think their struggle has always been how to balance the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in this diaspora where they are American, but they're also Indian.
Right. So, culturally, you know, Indian, but yeah. But culturally American too. Actually, they're both, you know, dabbling with both cultures like we're doing right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly what our kids are dealing with, right? At home, it's one thing.
More and then our kids.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was like right around the time I had my daughter and, you know, that's when I met you and all of that kind of just came together. And I think like, I started seeing it as being in a very unique spot, a big advantage mm-hmm. to how I would parent. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, you know what? I've never, you know, we all have those things, right? That we love and hate about our culture mm-hmm. or the way we were brought up or the values or anything, any kind of superstitions and so many things, especially with South Asian or immigrant, you know, groups.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, okay. I have this unique thing where I can take what I like from both and, you know, give that to my daughter. So, mm-hmm. you know, and it was almost like a newfound opportunity where you and me had like the chance to change the narrative for our children.
Mm-hmm. True.
And I saw it as a huge advantage because...
And you're raising a daughter. You're raising a daughter. And so yeah. I have a daughter and two boys. And yeah. I think our goal has always been to empower mm-hmm. The young, the future generation, especially the women folk, because mm-hmm. we've grown up in an environment that has seen both extremes,
exactly.
right? Modernism and traditional.
Yep.
I mean, I say traditional, it's not in a negative sense, but more so, you know, we've seen hardcore traditional Indian values, which completely can sometimes be completely opposite to the modern outlook. And so we've seen both extremes. So I think one of the things that we want to achieve through this podcast is to create that environment for all our audiences, as well as for ourselves, where we are able to better serve as an example or role models to our younger generation, the women of the future.
Yeah, how we just unpack those, you know, generational baggage, you know, just unpack it, peel it off and not feel, you know, because I think a lot of... the cultural baggage, it comes with a lot of guilt. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I want to be able to do this. Or when you don't do it, you kind of are, it's ingrained in you that it has to be done in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And whether anybody's telling you or not, you have these things about the way you view things.
Yeah.
And I feel like moving here and, you know, meeting so many different people really opened my mind. And I'm like, oh, okay, there is just not a right and wrong. There is no, like, you know, two buckets.
Right.
It is whatever suits you. And I think that's a very big shift from the way we were brought up.
Right.
So, yes.
All right. So that's great, Shweta. And I have to thank you for getting me involved in the podcast. It's definitely an exciting thing to do with you and an exciting opportunity. And I'm looking forward to this journey with you.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So let's see about some of the topics that we'll be talking about mm-hmm. because our audience knows us fairly well now, hopefully. And, you know, they'll be wondering, why are these people doing this? What are the topics that they're going to keep us interested in?
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with some of the topics. I think pandemic, definitely we are living a pandemic, right? So we are going to be talking about personal growth a lot during this time. And I think a lot of us have had the opportunity to really learn and grow in this environment.
The upside of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a topic that is very dear to both of us. Colorism, right, Shweta?
Totally.
Both of us growing back in the how dark skin has been considered a taboo and right. kind of a social stigma growing up in India, especially in the 80s and 90s. A lot of that has changed in India, but still some parts of it still remain. So we're going to touch upon...
Definitely.
Yeah. The colorism and how it's ingrained in our society even today.
Mm-hmm.
And what other topics are we talking about again? Self-love, self-care.
Self-care. Mm-hmm. And a lot, I think as we progress, we definitely want to be talking about and talking to and interviewing, you know, inspiring women around us.
Yeah.
And I think we were recently, you know, when we were on a call a couple of days ago, we were talking about how in the South Asian diaspora, in the realm of South Asian achievers, women achievers, it's always about the people that, you know, have created these big brands, these entrepreneurs. While all of that is great, I feel like having grown up in India, there are a lot of everyday women
right.
who don't make it to the news or don't make it on social media or whatever, but they are the true unsung heroes. They're sheroes, you know?
Sheroes.
Yeah.
I like that.
And, you know, because whether it comes to just the way they raise their boys today or, you know, the kind of things, because, you know, typically a woman in India was always confined to either like taking care of a family or like, you know, maybe having a career with the support of her parents, taking care of the kids. But now I feel like the more I, you know, meet these people, know about these people, they're just everyday women and they're doing it all.
Right.
And
we need to meet those women. We need to interview those women and we need to introduce the women to this world.
Exactly. And I cannot wait to bring them here.
Absolutely.
And talk to them. Because I feel like, I think the ones that have already been successful are amazing and they inspire us. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I want to know what inspires that woman who is not exposed to social media or doesn't have like this thing to post about her, you know, post and boast about what her achievement is. Right. How is she, where is she taking her inspiration from?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's definitely, we are going to interview some many, many of those women.
Yes.
And so that's pretty much what we hope to bring the audience through this podcast, right? A sense of connection.
Yes.
A source of inspiration and a feeling that we're all on this journey together.
Totally.
This journey of discovery together.
And nobody just got here, you know, overnight.
Yes.
And we're all a work in progress. And that is the beauty of it, right? So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your favorite podcast, Shweta?
I have to say Ruse and Shine. That's Josephine and Victoria's podcast, which was kind of the trigger for all of this.
Yeah.
They're two sisters from Sweden, and they basically have had international lives, you know, careers, been traveling around everywhere. And it's fun. It's two sisters talking about everything from mindfulness to their yoga journey to how they've implemented those values of, you know, mindfulness and leadership into their life, you know, into their families, and how it's all of the trickle down effect and how they set goals for themselves. If you really want to get inspired, I think that's one podcast you have to listen to.
Nice.
Another one, obviously, I mean, I guess most people know about is Jay Shetty's podcast.
I love it. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he brings some great, really, really insightful people, and I love his interviews. So something I've really enjoyed. Another one that you introduced me to is the Gutsy Health podcast.
Oh, I love that podcast,
I think when I went through on my own, you know, health journey and trying to eat better and do better, and I think you mentioned it, and I've been listening to it, and I love that show. And last but not the least, I think everybody's favorite, NPR.
NPR is great. Yes,
yeah.
It's a constant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. For me, I think the list is fairly similar, but I would like to add to that list, The Healing Catalyst by Dr. Avanti Kumar Singh. She's amazing. She's someone I inspired to become, hopefully. She is born and raised in a South Indian family and has this, you know, kind of the mix of the modern and traditional values growing up. A lot of her eating is, you know, based on the Ayurvedic principles. And then she became a doctor in ER emergency room medicine, to be specific. And then she learned that Western medicine only can take you this far. And so she then started, you know, getting into the Ayurvedic line, and she became, you know, an Ayurvedic practitioner. So she kind of has this both Western and Eastern medicinal philosophies and combines it effectively. And a lot of her approach is through Ayurveda, and she understands Ayurveda through the Western lens. That's great, because she's kind of done both the sides, which I am doing right now.
That's awesome.
The other podcasts, a few others, are 5-Minute Feng Shui by Katie Weber, Feel Better, Live More by Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, The Doctor's Pharmacy by Dr. Mark Hyman. It's a very good podcast. You have to listen to it.
Oh, okay. I'm going to add these to my list.
Sure, sure. Life Coach School podcast by Brooke Castillo. She's a master coach, and oh boy, she's amazing.
Oh, I think I've heard. I think she was on Jay Shetty's podcast recently.
And oh, really?
I listened to their interview. Yeah.
Oh, you
yeah.
should listen to all of her podcasts. Start from the episode one. She is amazing. She's very empowering, and when we're talking about women and empowerment, she's one of those, you know, examples as well. Freakonomics, Planet Money, and The Axe Files by David Axelrod are some of the other podcasts as well that I like to listen to.
Awesome. So then let's delve into the next section.
All right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how the women or the people who shaped our lives early on and, you know, what's brought us here. So take a stab at this. So I think for me, my mother, it sounds cliche, but I think what I really saw and I remember vividly is how no matter what she was doing, whether she was in the role of a parent, a spouse, a friend, whatever it was, when she put herself out there, when she had to go out, she always looked good. She always took care of herself. She always looked good. And I think that's something I have you know, taken from her.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it does feel like I'm in an odd spot. Like, say, for example, now, right, when I go to pick up Dia at the bus stop,
mm-hmm.
it's just a simple bus stop. I can just be like in my joggers and whatnot. But it's like, it's just ingrained in me. I just like make an effort to throw on a good coat or like whatever that is, right? And I do get these looks from other moms that I think it's just me. It might not be them. It might be me. But it's all about like, you know, look good, feel good kind of thing. And I think that's what I learned from her.
I can attest to that, people. Anybody's listening to this, yes, Shweta, she really carries herself really well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I definitely has to do with my mother. And I think that's something early on I saw. And another big, big influence early on in my life was is my grandfather. And I think this is one of the hard lessons that, you know, he really eased me into is dealing with failures, you know, mm-hmm. because I feel like even today, like where we set our children up, like we teach them what success looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in a world of, you know, mental health issues and so much else going on, mm-hmm. it's always now I question myself. I'm like, wow, you know, it's a huge step, whether it's you or your children or, you know, the friends in your life to actually help them cope and deal with failure. Yeah. Because failure, when it happens, it seems like this big thing that, you know, this mountain that you cannot climb. And I remember like my grandfather telling me the story of one of the many stories he used to tell me is he was one of the first people in his village to actually pass 10th grade.
Wow.
And that was a huge thing. So when he actually gave his 10th grade exams and he got his results, everybody was like waiting with bated breath and he had actually failed his exams. Mm. Now that could have been like, you know, the end of it. You know, mm-hmm. he could have just dropped out and being like, oh, you know, nothing's going to happen. But like he took it upon himself and was like, it's fine. I failed. I'm going to get up and, you know, do better. And he did just that. So he literally had not one, but two successful careers. He worked in Brooke Bond as a marketing controller.
Wow.
And he retired. And at the age 65, after he retired, he moved back to Mysore. And he's now 94, but until age, I think almost like until he was like 85, he had a very, very successful real estate career.
Fantastic.
And till date, he is one of the most respected people in his field. And that's something I always look back to. Like whenever, like, and I recently was talking to my cousin who also was telling me the very same thing. And we felt so lucky that we had that experience early on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's been a big influence in my life.
And, sounds like a great individual. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I, you know, to sum it up, I think once I moved to New York, I think I just met phenomenal people through and through. And mm-hmm. each one inspired me because I think I went through a phase in life. I think that was when I did my engineering and then I got into this job, like, you know, but I was not really happy because I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this, you know. Mm-hmm. But eventually I've met a lot of creative people here. And at a time when I was like, oh, you know what? I did the writing thing in India, but I don't know. Like, because again, you know, writing is something that's very culturally influenced. And, you know, coming from British English to American English, the shift was pretty big
mm-hmm.
for me. And when I had all those doubts going on in my head, I think one person that really pops in my head is my friend Nikki. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, you know, you're really good at this. Just do it. And like everything I said, oh, you know what? I wish I could do this. And she's like, yeah, you can do it. There was nothing like, oh, no, you know what? This is too far off. Like, you can't do this right now. Mm-hmm. Or you need more experience. It was always that push. And I think at a time when I was in a phase of self-doubt, mm-hmm. like, you know, she really pushed me.
That's great.
And then, of course, I cannot finish this list without mentioning you.
Uh-oh.
Because as I was saying, when I think I mentioned this to you. I was a new mom when I met you. And,
yeah.
You know, we're, again, culturally ingrained that once you're a mom, like, you know, that's like your whole identity. And, you know, you have to give it your all to your child and things like that. But then when I took inspiration seeing that you're a mother, you have a social life, you have a successful career, and you juggle it all.
Thank you.
I think I've come to you in times when I felt, you know, the mom guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And you've always tried to tell me that, yes, you do all these other things, but then you become a better version of yourself for your child.
Yeah.
And I took great inspiration in that.
Thank you, Shweta. I think that's very important. I think guilt is, as women, we're ridiculed with guilt.
Yeah.
As a wife or as a partner, as a mother, it's always a constant in us. But sometimes we have to make this conscious choice of separating from that and really personally growing. Because once we are the best of ourselves, you know, the best version of ourselves, I think we become a source of inspiration for everybody around who's near and dear. So that's so important. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's get to your list.
Oh, my list. My list. Actually, I think a lot of what you're saying is pretty similar to my journey as well, because I moved here in 2002 to the United States, Boston specifically. And I came from this whole very traditional, conservative way of looking and living a life. And I came to the United States and suddenly, you know, I was just exposed to so many different ideas, so many different ways of living. I was just exposed to an explosion of modern thinking. And I think that pretty much has influenced who I have become over the last 20 years here. And a constant influence in my life has always been my mother, just like you.
She's amazing. I can attest to that. She is phenomenal.
Thank you.
She's so good.
Thank you.
She's like my mother in New York, like, because my mother's not here. Like, I literally call her Amma, and she's like, you know, my mother in New York. I love her.
She is someone who has also gone through a tough life, actually. Mm-hmm. She had a tough childhood, and then she had a tough life, career-wise as well as personal, but I have never seen her not smile. I've never seen her give up, you know? So I think what I've learned from her is the resilience, the art of being resilient, the art of not giving up, the art of really staying strong and improving the strength. And she's not someone who goes around saying, I'm strong, I'm strong, I'm strong. She's someone who proves her strength in whatever she does and however she, how she conducts. And I think growing up, she's been my biggest influence. And so I feel very lucky and fortunate. And yes, there have been a lot of people along the way that have been a source of inspiration. But I think I have to say the one person that's been the constant source has been my mother.
That's awesome.
All right. So this has been a fun first episode, at least for us, for Shweta and I. And I hope the audience enjoyed our conversation. We would like to keep it very natural. This is our conversation pretty much when we meet, and we just wanted to share some of our interesting
experiences,
topics over the course of time. And the whole idea is to develop a connection with you all. And, you know, we all are connected in one way or the other. That's the beauty about, you know, the human nature and the the world we live in. We just want to bring you all in this journey and bring you all in our journey as well, and feel the connection, provide that sense of connection, and hopefully empower many women along the way, introduce some unsung heroes, and really, really get this podcast to be more of a personal journey for us as well as for all of you.
Yeah, totally. Something you all can relate to.
Right.
So basically our goal.
Right, right.
Okay, so we'll see you again next week.
Yes, we'll see you again next week with an interesting episode. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
If you like what you heard, give us a rating, leave us a review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you stream podcasts. It would mean the world to us.
Have any questions or simply want to drop us a note? We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at chaibreakpodcast@gmail.com. That's chaibreakpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at chai_break_podcast or visit us at chaibreakpodcast.com.